This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The following session will be on those who may not be given of the zakat. Imam Ibn Qudamah rahimahullah said, "Babu ifraj al-zakah, how to pay zakat." He said, "La yajuzu ta'khiru al-zakah an waqti wujubiha, idha amkana ifrajuha. Fa'in fa'ala fatalif al-mal, lam tasqut anhu al-zakah, wa in talifa qablahu saqatat." It's not permissible to delay it, meaning to delay paying the zakat until after it has become obligatory. If one is capable of paying it, full stop. If one does delay it and the property is ruined, the responsibility of paying zakat will not be revoked. However, if it is ruined before the time of obligation, it will be revoked. Basically, you have your zakat due date. Zakat due date is a certain day of the year. On that day, the zakat becomes obligatory. If you delay giving the zakat after this day and your money is lost, the zakat is already binding. It's a debt. Like, you're indebted with this money to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You'll have to pay it. You know, and there is no disagreement here. Now, if right before that day all of your money was lost, then certainly you don't need to pay zakat. But the question is, what if this day comes and you don't have siyula, you don't have cash, you don't have currency? Like, you can't, you know, and yes, you have. In this case, in the Hanbali mazhab, they allow you to defer the zakat. You can't defer the zakat in this case. What if you have money but you need it for your needs? You need it for something really important. You know, like, you have money but your credit card bill is coming, and you know, you use a credit card but you pay on time so that you don't incur interest and get yourself in big trouble. Your credit card bill is coming up and you need to keep this money to pay your credit card bill. The Hanbalis will tell you, defer it, that is fine. If there is a need, or if you don't have the money, defer it, that is fine. Until you are solvent, until you're capable of paying, then you must pay it then, once you are. But if you defer it for an excuse, and you lose the money, keep in mind, you're already indebted with this money to Allah. So the fact that you're deferring does not mean that the liability is being postponed. You're already liable on your zakat due date. It's done. You owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala $256. But your credit card bill is coming, and you're afraid if you pay this today to the poor, you're not going to be able to pay your credit card, and then you'll incur interest, and then you'll get in trouble. You keep the $256, you pay your credit card bill, and then later, I mean, if you have a debit card and debit card does everything for you that the credit would, and you don't need to build the credit history, then certainly don't have a credit card and have a debit card. In case you have a credit card because you need it for whatever reasons or to build the credit history or this or that, then this example here applies to you. Then afterwards, you pay the $256 once you have enough money. But what if you are unable to pay it, not because you have the money yet you need it, you're unable to pay it because, for instance, you have a retirement plan, and if you withdraw from, so your retirement plan is $100,000. And if you withdraw and we said, keep in mind, because I someone called me from Texas and they said that, you know, Sheikh, I heard that you have a new ijtihad about zakah, and you're saying that zakah is 0.5% and not 2.5%. I told him, this is crazy. don't make that sort of mistake. But when it comes to retirement plan, we set it to 0.5% on the total because you will subtract the penalties and the deferred taxes, and then you will have 60,000, for instance, and the 60,000 are in stocks, and not all the stocks are zakatable. So we figured that, you know, out of the different positions that the scholars had, some of the scholars said you pay 10%. Zakat is 10% on the profit of the stocks. Some of the scholars said you estimate, you know, what is zakatable in those stocks, what is zakatable in the companies that you put your stocks in, and you pay on that. And we said approximate figure is 30%. 30% or one-third of 60,000 would be 20,000. And if you pay 2.5% on 20,000, it's like paying 0.5% on 100,000. That's where the 0.5% came from. I never said, you know, I never instigated a new ruling about the rate of zakat. It's, you know, anyway. But so 0.5%, 0.5% of 100,000 is how much? $500? Okay. So $500, you don't have them. You know, some people live hand to mouth all the time, you know. You don't have them. So what do you do? Huh?
You have 10,000 instead of 100,000. You have 10,000 instead of 100.
Thank you.
And the comma is in the wrong place.
Oh, okay. I like people who are punctual and precise. Okay, so now you don't have the money. Some people also have a lot more money in their retirement plans, and then their zakat could be like $3,000. They really don't have the $3,000. In this case, if your retirement plan allows withdrawal, but with penalties, we will not tell you, you know, withdraw the money and basically sustain the penalties. But we will tell you, you should pay your zakat every year. You should pay your zakat every year because it was voluntary. You voluntarily put your money into this retirement plan. You should pay your zakat every year. If you're unable, you don't have the money, pay the zakat later when you start to withdraw money from your retirement plan. Or to get a salary or whatever it is. You when you're able later, when there are no penalties. But you will have to keep track of how much you owe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every year. So this year my zakah was 500. Next year my zakah is 1500. Keep track, and then 30 years later when you retire, you will owe so much in zakat. Well, that's fine if that is what you want to do and you're unable to pay on an annual basis. What if the thing does not allow you, what if you contribute to a retirement plan that does not allow any form of withdrawal? Forget about penalty. They just don't allow withdrawal. They don't allow. Or you put your money into an account that just doesn't allow withdrawals. What do? You do the same thing. You, in this case, because you're not really allowed to possess the money, in this case, you are not required to pay it on an annual basis. You will be required to pay it for all the years when you start to collect the money. For all the years. Why is this? If you don't have complete possession of the money, hiyaza of the money, it should not be zakatable. But we said, Majma al-Fiqh, he said it is still zakatable because you voluntarily contributed to this retirement plan. Then how you will need to pay the zakat on the money that you contributed only, not the money that your company contributed, not the money that the government contributed, not the money that accrued as a profit from this, only the money that you contributed. Because you voluntarily took this money and contributed it to that plan. And you cannot, you know, we cannot allow this money to be shielded from zakah because everybody will be putting their money in long-term, locking their money in long-term investments, and people will not be paying zakat. So the scholar has said, out of istihsan, and that is when juristic preference is needed. Juristic preference, out of istihsan. You remember when we talked about debts, if you incur debt for investment versus consumption, and the difference, the scholars, contemporary scholars said, debts that you incur for investment are unlike debts that you incur for consumption. Debts you incur for consumption or for your needs are to be subtracted from your assets. Debts that you incur for investment are not. This is called istihsan, juristic preference. Even though debts, we have the reports about debts and we have the established sort of understanding that you subtract your debts. But the contemporary scholars said, nowadays people are incurring debts, you know, factory owners and businessmen, everybody is incurring debts, and people are incurring debts for mortgage to buy a $500,000 house and all of that stuff. If we allow all of these debts that are incurred for investment, for property that is existent, to be subtracted from the zakat, the poor will not get anything. People will just, no one will be paying anything in zakat. So that is when the scholars come in and use istihsan. They also use the istihsan here, and they said, yes, we understand that the mamul milk wal hiyaza, complete ownership and the ability to possess the money, are conditions for the money to be zakatable. Yet, since you yourself voluntarily put your money into a locked-in account for 5 years or 10 years, this money will still be zakatable, and we will not ask you to pay the zakat, though, because you can't pull the money out. We will not ask you to pay the zakat now, but count it. Year after year, you count it. 500 this year, 550 next year, 600. And then at the end of the 10 years, you figure out that you owe $12,300 in zakat, and you pay this money when you can collect it. Clear? Okay, so that is in terms of deferring the payment of zakat. Deferring the payment of zakat is a big deal. Don't defer the payment of zakat if you can, so that you don't make yourself liable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't defer your zakat. Disambiguation or... Okay. وَيَجُوزُ تَعْجِيلُهَا إِذَا كَمُلَ النِّصَابُ وَلَا يَجُوزُ قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. He says it is permissible to pay zakat early if the nisab is reached, but it is not permissible before that. We get this question a lot. People say, you can pay the zakat in advance. That's what he's saying. And in the Hanbali madhab, you can pay it in advance for 2 years. You can pay it in advance for 2 years. So, there is a particular event, there is a particular fundraising, and you say to yourself, I don't really have that much money to give charity. And I already paid my zakat. But you could, if you have the nisab. If you don't have the nisab, then there is no zakat obligatory on you. The sabab, the cause that will make the zakat obligatory on your zakat due date is not existent, so you can't really give zakat. But if you have the nisab, which is the zakat threshold, like you have $3,000, and you just paid your zakat, and then 2 months later, there is a good fundraising about like some good cause that is zakat eligible, and you feel that you don't have enough money to pay, or you don't want, you don't desire to give charity, a random charity that's not zakat. So you could say to yourself, okay, I will give this from my next zakat, my next cycle. From the zakat that is due on my next zakat due date. Or you walk by someone who's poor and you really feel bad for them and you take like $200 out of your pocket. If you make the intention that this is advanced zakat, keep in mind, you cannot be, you know, given a random charity and come in at the end of the year and say to yourself, well, I give a lot of money to a lot of people, so don't worry about calculating my zakat. Or even if you know how much you gave, but you did not intend at the time of giving it that this is advanced zakat, you cannot subtract this from your zakat. This will count as just random charity. You cannot subtract this from the zakat. You can only subtract it from your zakat if at the time of giving you intended that this is advanced zakat. That this is advanced zakat. And you could do this for up to 2 years. Many people ask, that's what I wanted to start with. They say, we have relatives and we don't want to give them all the money all at once because they will misuse it. You know, my brother or my whatever, aunt or something, they're not prudent in their finances and stuff like this. And I want to give them a monthly salary. Fine, you can do it from the zakah of next year, not the zakah of the previous year. So give them a monthly salary, $100 every month. And then at the end of the year, you figure out, I gave my brother $1,200. Every time I gave my brother $100, I intended that this is advanced zakah. And you wonder, he's using brother. Yes, I'm using brother because, like I said before, you know, the Maliki and the Shafi'i position here about, you know, amuda in nasab, ascendants and descendants, the Maliki is restricted to parents and children. This seems to be the stronger position when it comes to people that you are responsible for. And if you're not responsible for it, they are not your dependents, you could give them zakat. So yes, you could give your brother and your sister from your zakat. And then you give them a monthly salary, or you give anyone. Like, you give anyone a monthly salary, and then intend that this is from the zakat, and then subtract it at the end, because the Prophet ﷺ said that we had taken the zakat from Al-Abbas in advance, the zakat of 1 year from Al-Abbas, and in some reports it also 2 years in advance. Or it could mean 2 years, not necessarily that it is clearly mentioned. So that is in terms of paying the zakat in advance. Did I want to say anything about this? Any other thing about paying the zakat in advance? I think that's it. And then Imam Al-Qudama rahimahullah said, وَإِنْ عَجَّلَهَا إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ مُسْتَحَقِّهَا لَمْ تُجْزِئُهُ وَإِنْ صَارَ عِنْدَ الْوُجُوبِ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا وَإِنْ دَفَعَهَا إِلَىٰ مُسْتَحَقِّهَا فَمَاتَ أَوْ اسْتَغْنَى أَوْ ارْتَدَّ أَجْزَأَتْ وَإِنْ تَلِفَ الْمَالِ لَمْ يَرْجِعَ عَلَىٰ الْآخِذِ. If one pays it earlier than the due date to someone who does not deserve it, it will not count, even if that person becomes a worthy recipient of zakat on the due date. If one pays it early to someone who deserves it, and then that person dies or no longer needs it or becomes an apostate, it will still count for him. However, if his property is ruined after he paid the zakat, he cannot ask for it back from the person who received it. Okay, so you give your zakat in advance. You give your zakat here to someone in advance. At this time, they were poor and deserving. Poor and deserving of zakat. When you give them the zakat. On your zakat due date, that person that you gave zakat 8 months earlier, on your zakat due date, became rich. Not deserving of zakat. Does your zakat count? Yes. Because at the time you gave it to them, they were poor. Even if they became apostates, you know, God forbid. Your zakat counts? Yes, because at the time you gave it to them, they were not. And then, but what if you give a person zakat here, they're rich, and then they become poor on your zakat due date? Can you say, yes, they were not deserving when I gave it to them, but now they are deserving, and it is my zakat due date? No, you can't. Because at the time you give it to them. So what matters is the time you give it to them. What if you give people a lot of money here, and on your zakat due date you calculate your zakat, and your zakat is zero. And you give already, like, for a lot of money. What can you do? Huh? You can't take it back. But you can shift it to next year. You roll it over to next year. What if you have zero here? That's it. It's your. I mean, it's not your loss. You gave money for the sake of Allah, and so Allah get the reward in the hereafter. Yeah. Then the Sheikh said, وَلَا تُنْقَلُ الصَّدَقَ إِلَى بَلَدٍ تُقْصَرُ إِلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةِ إِلَّا أَلَّا يَجِدَ مَنْ يَأْخُذُهَا فِي بَلَدِهَا. It's not allowed to transport charity or zakah in this context to a faraway place where it becomes permissible to shorten the prayer unless one does not find anyone who deserves it in his own area to take it. And this is the last mas'ala here about giving the zakat. A faraway place where he can shorten the salah is, let's say, 50 miles away. 50 miles away is considered far away enough in the madhab to shorten your salah. In general, aside from the Malikis, the Hanafis, and Shafi'is, and Hanbalis, they tell you that your zakah has to be paid in which place? Where you live or where your money is? No, where your money is. Yes. So, because that is the place that is deserving, this is where you're investing your money. So, and that is completely consistent with, it's logical and very consistent, you know. So if your money is in Dallas and you live in New York City, who would live in New York City if his money in Dallas? I don't know. But some people, you know. But if that is the case, your money is in Dallas, you live in New York City, Dallas is Mawtan al-Zakah, is the place where you need to pay your zakat. According to them, the Maliki said New York City. But according to the majority, the clear majority, you will give your zakat in where the money is, where the assets, the zakatable assets are. You know, you have your mazra'a, your farm in a place. You have your livestock in a village, and you live in a nearby village. You give your zakat in the village where the livestock is. These are the people that are seeing those cows or those cattle coming back and forth every day, and they have some expectation. Okay, so that is, now that you need to give it in Dallas, the Sheikh is saying here, 50-mile radius. 50-mile radius. Not 50-mile radius. You know, so if Dallas is here, 50-mile radius. So, 50-mile radius. You could give your zakat in Dallas or within 50 miles from where you live. Within 50 miles from where you live. You can't give your zakat to people here. Now, that is, but keep in mind, whoever said that you give your zakat where you are, because that is what we said in zakat al-fitr, because zakat al-fitr, you give it wherever you are, right or wrong. Not where your money is, where you are. Because it's not zakat al-mal, it's not the zakat of those assets. Is this zakat al-fitr is binding on your individual, on your person. It's not binding in the money, binding on the person that was, you know, and everybody of their dependents. So zakat al-fitr, you will give it where you reside. But zakat al-mal, you will give it where the mal is, where the assets are. Can you give it now? Can you send it now to Jakarta? Can you send your zakat to Jakarta? If we have deserving Muslims here, you cannot send it to Jakarta, according to Malik, Shafi'i, and Ahmad. If we have deserving. If we do not have deserving Muslims here, you can send it to away according to all of them. You can send it away according to all of them if we don't have deserving Muslims here to take the zakat. So there are two points of consensus here. First consensus is the priority of the local neighborhood, nearby. The priority of the nearby people is by consensus. Second consensus, no one is deserving in your area and within the 50-mile radius. No one is deserving. You can't send it out because this is one ummah. هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة. This nation of yours is one nation. You could send it away. What if you have deserving Muslims here, but more deserving, which is the case, you know, that everybody talks about. More deserving elsewhere, relatives elsewhere, and more deserving here is based on need and merit. Need and merit. So Imam Abu Hanifa said, if you have more deserving people based on need, they are poorer. Based on merit, they are students of knowledge, for instance, so they are helping the ummah by dedicating their lives to seeking knowledge. Or you have relatives, and they are outside of this, your area, you still could send the money to them. And then, so you ask Imam Abu Hanifa, what if they are not more deserving? I have deserving here, and I have deserving here. Deserving. Not more deserving, just deserving. He will tell you, give it here, but if you give it here, it is still okay, but suboptimal. It is the only disliked. To give it away if they're equally deserving. For the Jumhur, it is haram to give it here if they're equally deserving. We'll have to give it here, inside your area. So Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, chose the position of Imam Abu Hanifa, particularly, but not the position of Imam Hanifa that it would be disliked. He said it would be prohibited to give it away. But he chose the position of Imam Hanifa that if you have more deserving or relatives, you could send it to them. If you have more deserving people, like people in pressing need, and you know, or more deserving, poorer people, or relatives, you could send the money to them, even if you have deserving people in your area. And that is, so that would be like wajh in the mazhab and chosen by Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Certainly it is the Hanafi position. But the majority would still say, as long as you have deserving people inside this circle, you need to give it to the deserving people inside the circle. The majority are saying, فَعَلِمُهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَفْتَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. When the Prophet sent Mu'az to Al-Yaman, he said to him, and then if they agree and they follow, obey you concerning the salah, then let them know that Allah had made obligatory on them a sadaqah, a charity, which is the mandatory charity zakat, تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ, that will be taken away from their أغْنِيَاء, the rich among them, فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ, and given back to the poor among them. And in the sense of the local people having a priority, this is an agreement. Imam Hanifa does not disagree with this. Yes, local people have a priority, which is unlike imperial systems. They take the money from all the peripheries and they pour it into the center, capital, you know. No, in Islam, no. We don't take the money from the peripheries to the center. Everybody, every locale, they keep their own money. تُؤْخَذُ مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَائِهِمْ. You know, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Mu'adh, لَمْ أَبْعَثْكَ جَابِيَةً. I did not send you as a tax collector. And he used to remind his ummah that I am not sending you as tax collectors. I send you to teach the people about their deen and so on, not as tax collectors. So this is a matter of agreement. Local people are more deserving by agreement. The question is whether we could send it away to more deserving people in other places based on need or merit, and to our relatives in other places. And it seems that Imam Hanifa could use, and we did say this before, the fact that Muslims are one nation, he may say that تُخَذُ عَلَى مِنْ أَغْنِيَاهِمْ فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَاءِهِمْ, taken from the rich among them. Them, he refers to Muslims, not Yemenis. فَتُرَدُّ عَلَى فُقَرَاءِهِمْ. But, you know, the Jumhur would say, obviously he was sending him to Yemen and he was talking to them. So it meant from the same people, you know, the money will be taken from the rich among you, given back to the poor among you. Because it would also make sense, you know, in a village, to take the money from that village and send it to the next village when you have poor and deserving people in village A. Why do you send it to village B? So that is that. But what we wanted to stress here is that there is a consensus about the priority of the local people. Consensus about the priority of the local people. Likely, if you have more deserving, a pressing need like a tsunami and earthquake, or people are really deserving, people are under siege, people are, you know, those kinds of people that are more deserving, likely we are okay to send to them, according to Imam Hanifa and the choice of Taymiyyah rahimahullah. Likely it's okay. But it should never make us collect all the money and send it over and ignore the local need. It, right from this discussion, does it make sense to ignore the local need? It does not really make sense to ignore the local need. Because whether you say it is haram to send it away, or say it is suboptimal or makruh to send it away, everybody is saying it is not a good idea to ignore the local need whatsoever. That's it. أقول قولي هذا. أستغفر الله لي ولكم. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And we actually did finish early today.